please God. But the Lord is good to us. Amen. Praise God. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Let's begin at verse number 1 so we kind of get an understanding here. The Bible said, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith this preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I don't want you to get hung up so much in that it said the words of the preacher. I know that that is important. But he's also the king. He's the king in Jerusalem. So now being the king and the preacher, who tells him what? The answer is nobody except for God if he allows him to. And so that's kind of our position. In reality, nobody tells you anything because you're the king of your life. Nobody tells you anything unless you want to be told. If you humble yourself before God, and God can help you. And so I just kind of want to think upon that line. Now let's skip down to verse number 12. And he said, I, the preacher, or we're just going to say I, the one that was in charge. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all the things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. And I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. Praise God. And so for a few minutes of time here tonight, I want to preach from this thought, from vexation to victory.
All right, amen. Hallelujah.
From vexation to victory. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here tonight. God of heaven, we love you. Hallelujah.
Oh God, have your way, have your way, have your way with us, Lord. Have your way in this place, Jesus. Move and minister, Lord. Move in a mighty way, God. Help us to hear, receive your word, and one of us, God, in ears and in the spirit, Jesus. Seem, Lord, to speak clearly to us, God. Give us revelation, give us understanding, Lord. Oh, we need you tonight, God. We need you, Lord, more than anything, Jesus. Have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way, Lord. Oh, we believe you, God, to your work in the Spirit, Jesus.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, and tell them, let's have church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you and be seated. Psalms 91 and 3 and Proverbs 6 and 5 both speak of something in common, and that is called the snare of the fowler. The snare of the fowler just simply means that it is, it's a trap. It's a trap. It is a trap that is hidden, and it's used by a bird catcher. That's who the fowler is. And it is the trap that is hidden, used by the bird catcher to capture birds alive. Trap in that day and time was carefully concealed and had bait that was placed in it to attract the bird. And the bird saw only the bait, only the promised food, did not see the danger beneath it. And once he stepped into the snare, suddenly he was trapped and unable to free himself. And the thing that we all know is that in order for a trap to be successful, it's got to have some kind of bait. And no matter if it's, Brother Troy, if it's a fish hook, it's got to have some kind of bait on there. I'm barely successful catching fish with bait. I sure don't want to try to catch them without the bait. If it is a mouse trap, you got to put some bait there. If it is a bird trap, there's got to be bait. And the Bible, we even talk about the hunter. And the hunter has got to have some kind of allurement to be able to bring the intended game in closer. And hunting deer, we use all kinds of things. Sometimes we just put corn out there and it's good enough. Sometimes we rattle horns and they got to come running to see who's fighting, or amen. Or other times we do grunt calls and they got to come find out or figure out who it is and such. But there's always bait. There's always bait associated with the trap. Always. There's always bait. And we know tonight that it's the same concerning the spirit. The Lord's not just giving us an analogy of a bird and the snare of the fowler just so you can think about bird hunting and such. But there is a spiritual connection that is there. And we know, without having to be reminded, we know that the enemy of our soul has set traps out for each and every one of us. Traps in and of themselves is going to be unsuccessful. It is the bait that he puts on the trap that is the allurement. It is the deceptive temptations that nothing is wrong, that everything is good. He rarely is going to present sin as destructive, but instead he disguises it as something that is desirable, pleasurable, and harmless. And the bait promises a satisfaction to the one that is enticed. But in the end, it is the hidden trap that brings about bondage, regret, and oftentimes condemnation. Praise God. Condemnation. There are some people that can get away with or get over several different things, but there's something about condemnation that individuals just can't seem to get past on a regular basis. Praise God. And your enemy knows this. And so he uses the human desire of a better life, whether it's financially, whether it's health, whether it's business, whether it is funds and toys and all these other things. He knows this, and so he is using the human desire, the carnal desire, as his bait. He also knows that what works for me probably is not going to work for you. And he knows that what works for you typically does not work for other people. There are some baits that are more alluring to a numerous amount of people than others. But there are some things that just as individuals seem to have a weakness or a propensity for. And it does not matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your last name is. It does not matter how many years you may have or you don't have in the church. Every one of us are susceptible to falling as praise to the devil's enticements. Amen. It doesn't matter how foolish you may be, and it also doesn't matter how wise that you are. I want you to know that no matter who you are, no matter what your strengths may be, no matter what your weaknesses are, I want you to know that there is a bait for you. Praise God. Praise God. That is the truth. Amen. That is the truth. I don't care if you are, I got to be careful here. I don't care if you're, and I'm saying this because this goes back to when I was a teenager. We had this young man in our church, and we could show him a picture of some extremely ugly girl, and I mean she was freckled face and buck tooth, and it was crazy, and we would tell him, we would say, you know, that this is your girlfriend, Terry. And he said, oh, no way. Like, oh, yeah, she's in love with you. And all of a sudden, Terry would say, me in love. And so I don't care who you are. I just want you to know there's a bait for everyone. A bait for everyone. It doesn't matter how ugly an individual might be. There's bait. It doesn't matter how handsome or gorgeous they are. There is bait, amen, that is set for all of us. Sometimes it is not attraction of the opposite sex. We're not even going to talk about same sex and stuff like that. Amen. Praise God. That's mental, but nevertheless, praise God. Sometimes it's not necessarily the attraction of opposite sex, but sometimes, amen, it's the allurement of money. It's the allurement of money. Praise God. Let me just stop and say this because this just hit me. And so I'm going to stop and I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm going to say this. It does not matter who you are. There is bait for everyone. That's why I know personally of a lady that was about 33 years old. She divorced her husband, and she shacked up with a 72-year-old man. Some of you say, you know what, that's disgusting. I'm telling you, the devil knows. The devil knows. Praise God. And so it can be finances. It can be popularity. It can be it can be anything. But the devil knows that there is a bait that is able to capture you. And it's going to catch your attention first. And then after it catches your attention, it's going to draw you closer. And the closer you get, amen, it's going to seem more appeasing. And you can feel it almost that it's yours. And then all of a sudden, the trap is sprung, and you're caught. And you're like the fish that once the hook is set, and they begin the fight. I was recently down in South Texas, and I was out in the Gulf fishing. And we had toiled not all night, but we hadn't caught anything. And so we were not casting our nets on the other side. We had just completely moved to the other side. And so we're fishing there, and all of a sudden, pow, something hit my line. And when it hit it, I knew it wasn't all those little hardhead catfish, that saltwater catfish that do nothing but get on your nerves. And something hit it, and I was like, oh, buddy, I've got one. And all of a sudden, my reel began to scream. And if you don't know the sound of that, that's like joy to the fisherman's ears, because you know the fight is on. And my reel just began to and all I could do was just hold on. And I mean, it was pulling and the rod was just shaking. And then finally he kind of slowed down and I reeled down, pulled up, and it went on for a while and for a good length of time. And I don't know if I had him close in or not, but we were so in ready to see what it was. And then all of a sudden that reel just goes whop, 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 whop again. And all that is that head shaking back and forth. And then all of a sudden it was on again. And off, it screamed off into the distance, and we were holding on for life. And it's like, you know what? I said, he's still fighting hard, and there ain't no turning him. And there ain't no doing whatever I got to do. There ain't no turning. But he was cut. He was caught. He was caught until he wrapped himself around the pier and broke it. But nevertheless, that's the way that it is when an individual is caught, when the trap is sprung, and then an individual is fighting and desperately trying to get loose and trying to get away and doing whatever that it's got to do to try to shake the trap off of it, get out of the trap. Many times to no avail. It's finished. It's over. Praise God. And Solomon was not exempt from the traps. He was not exempt. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, could not foresee the traps that were set for him. All he could see was the allurement, the bait, and all of those things. Wisdom did not move him away from the traps that were set for him. But even the wisest man upon the face of the earth, the wisest man that was known in all of the earth, and probably the wisest to this very day, was vexed and caught by the trap. Praise God. Amen. And so the Bible tells us in verse number 13 of our text today that Solomon said, I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things. He said, in other words, he was saying, I went to look at everything. I went to view everything. And his wisdom was not able to discern that which was a trap and that which was not a trap. A noble thing for you to do, Solomon, but there was nothing sinful to see at first. Praise God. Amen. You're going to let me preach here tonight. I said there was nothing sinful to see at first. There was no bed of adultery or fornication that was seen, amen, at that particular time. There was no drunken stupor, amen, and cirrhosis of the liver at that particular time. There was no broken homes or no dispatched family at that particular time. There were no jailhouses and prisons at that particular time. There was no signs of drug abuse and drug addictions at that particular time. It just looked alluring. It just looked enticing. It just looked like something that was not so dangerous. And then the Bible said that Solomon would say in verse number 17, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I want you to see the digression that is already beginning to happen so quickly and so shortly. Amen. He has gone from just knowing wisdom, but now there is something that compels him to know madness and folly. The Amplified Version says, I gave my mind to know practical wisdom and to discern the character of madness and folly in which men seem to find satisfaction. I wanted to know why they found pleasure in the things that they found. I wanted to know what they felt when they took, amen, the syringe into their arms. I wanted to know the feeling of euphoria, amen, as they began to ingest this, snort it. Or what I wanted to know what it is about alcohol that causes the individual to come back again and again. Amen. What he's going to say is, just interviewing these people is not going to be good enough. I want you to know that interviewing those people was more of an allurement and entrapment. Amen. As he began to hear, amen, about the high feelings or about the ways, amen, that alcohol
alcohol would make him feel, because the Bible begins to teach us that the allurement of these things entrapped him and pulled him into these things. Again, many of these things were not sin at first. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. That's the lie that the devil wants to sell you. Amen. He wants to tell you, tell me why this is sin. He wants to tell you, prove to me. Give me book, chapter, and verse where this right here is really wrong. Amen. Show me, amen, why that this is considered sinful. Chapter number 2, amen, Solomon would say, amen, that I gave to, my heart to all of these things. And I told my heart to go enjoy all of these pleasures. And so it begins to happen from there. And he said, I gave myself unto wine and acquainting my heart with wisdom, laying hold on folly until I could see what was so good about this. I wasn't satisfied with him telling me what was so good about this. I had to go find it for myself. I had to go experience it for myself. He said, I was laying hold on folly until I could see what was so good about this. He goes on to say it like this. I built houses, and that's not sinful. I planted vineyards and made gardens and orchards. I planted trees. I made pools. I had servants and maidens. I had great possessions of great and small cattle. I gathered silver and I gathered gold, and I got singers, and I had orchestras, and I had choirs. And then he says it like this, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all of my labor, and this was my portion of all of my labor. Amen. Solomon was saying, I'm looking deep into this. I'm touching this. I'm doing this. And I seem to be okay. Wisdom is telling me I haven't changed. Wisdom is telling me I'm all right. Wisdom is telling me there's no book, chapter, and verse against this. Wisdom is telling me I haven't been trapped yet. I haven't been burnt yet. I haven't been found out yet. Wisdom is telling me all of the good things, and I'm not discerning anything about it. And the key that no one seems to notice about Solomon is there was something minuscule, something so myopic about it. Amen, that it's too easy to see, or it's too hard to see, because all we see is houses and orchards and vineyards and gardens and trees and silver and gold and choirs and orchestras and such. But there's one small thing in there, amen, that is extremely important. And we talked a little bit about this last Wednesday. It's the word I. Amen. Solomon was saying, I. I did this and I did that. And I got this and I built that. And I had this and I had that. Amen. He had planted. I got. I gathered. I had. I kept not. His entire vocabulary became centered upon himself. I did all of this. The problem was where he expected his fulfillment to come from. Amen. He expected his fulfillment to come from the house, but that wasn't the issue. He was thinking that the joy was gonna, I'm here to tell you today, you're not gonna get joy in a better house. You're not gonna have better life with orchards and vineyards and all of these other things. If it is the allurement of sin, if it is the bait that the devil is using, you're on the wrong way, headed the wrong direction, in a very fast pace. Even if you are at Turtle Crawl, you've got to recognize, hey man, this isn't necessarily good. I'm not saying that good houses or nice houses are sin, but you've got to be able to recognize, through the discerning of the Spirit, hey man, that this has put me in a place that I'm going to have to work more, and I'm not going to be able to go to church. Amen. This is really what wisdom is all about. Wisdom isn't knowing how to build the house. Wisdom is knowing, can I afford this and still keep God first in my life? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Solomon was expecting his fulfillment of joy to come from these things, and he wound up empty. He got him a house, and it wasn't good enough, and he had to get another one. He got him a wife, and she wasn't good enough, and he had to get another one. He had to get about 700 of them. I want you to know that he still wasn't happy. Amen. He got himself choirs, and they weren't good enough. Amen. It didn't matter what he got, what he built, what he had. It was never good enough for Solomon. And the whole time, it was Satan reeling him in. It was the whole time, amen, Satan justifying him and yelling out, you still haven't sinned, Solomon. You still haven't sinned. And Solomon believed in the lie, saying, I must be okay. But all the while, Solomon was getting drawn further and further away from the laws of God. And not just the laws of God, but the most important thing, the love of God. And I'll prove this to you here in a moment's time. Amen. But all the while, Satan is drawing him into the trap. I'm telling somebody tonight, you need to be wary of the trap. You need to be very wary of the trap. It doesn't seem like a trap at first. It doesn't seem like a trap even at the end. Amen. All the way up until the end. All the way up until it slams home on you. Many times you just don't see what's wrong with you. But if you will let God talk to you, if you'll let God deal with you, if you'll let God move upon you, if you'll let God speak to you, if you'll let God touch to you, God will save you. God will help you. God will deliver you. It's not His will that you be ensnared by that trap. Amen. God wants to preserve you. Let's love Him today. Oh, come on, let's love Him here tonight. Chapter 2, he said, I looked on all that my hands had done and the labor that I had spent in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind and a feeding on it. And there was no profit under the sun. Amen. In other words, what he's saying is I'm running after the wind and I just can't seem to catch it. And so we see that at this point in time, Solomon had reached the top. Solomon began his journey looking for that special end. And when he came to that special end, standing on top of his perceived mountain, he found nothing. He did not find the joy that he was looking for. He did not find the hope that he was looking for. He did not find the dreams fulfilled that he thought that he was going to find. He, as a matter of fact, with all of his wisdom, he said, it's vanity and vexation of spirit. It's one thing if it was just vanity. And that's what he said at first. He said, all is vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. It's all vanity. But once he got there, he realized it's not just vanity. It's vexation of spirit. It's a heaviness that becomes my wardrobe. It is a chain and ball that is attached to my foot that is there forever to remind me that I am now captive. I thought I would be free. I thought that I would have everything that I wanted. I thought that it would be fun. I thought that it would be joyful. But it's vexation. And I can't shake it. I can't get it off. He said, I've tried everything. I thought that it was just going to be a house. But it became more than that. It became, I was buying this and building this and doing this. And I could never be satisfied with all of this. Trap had been set. The bait had been put. And the wisest man on earth failed to see it. Who do I think that I am?
Who do we think that we are to think that we can escape, that we can escape? I'm here today to tell you that entertainment can become addiction. Success can become an obsession. Pleasures become bondage. Careers destroy marriages. Money steals peace. Hobbies replace God. Innocent things become ultimate things as the bait of the trap. Solomon would go on to say, "Then said I in my heart," listen to this, those that you're criticizing and those that you're pointing fingers at and those that you're saying, "Oh, they should have saw that. I saw that from a mile away." Solomon said, "I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity." He said, wisdom doesn't get a free pass. I said, wisdom doesn't get a free pass. Let me just put it to you like, perceived wisdom doesn't get a free pass. Because sometimes we think, oh, but I can handle that. I'm more wise. I want to remind you that many of these things were not sin. It was just the direction that the enemy was using to draw him closer to the trap. I'll say it again. House is not sin unless you allow it to be. Vineyards are not sin unless you allow them to be. Orchards are not sin unless you allow them to be. And you say, well, how do I allow it to be? It when it takes the place and the time from God. If you got a house and you gotta work, amen, you gotta work two jobs to pay the bills and stuff, that's a trap. That's a trap. If you're so interested in making sure that the vineyards and the orchards get taken care of and so you can't make it to church, that's a trap. Amen. That's a trap. If you've got job activities and all the other things that go on and stuff and with the promise and the allurement of elevation and promotion and stuff like that, and it keeps you out of the house of God, it's a trap. Amen. Pray. Wisdom doesn't see it like that. Wisdom says, oh, no. This is God's blessings upon me. Solomon is saying, how can I be so wise and fall into the same trap that the fool falls into? He said, you better pay attention to these things. Amen. Solomon is writing from a vexated heart. Amen. From a heart that is extremely vexed. And he is saying to his son, you've got to hear what I'm saying. Don't fall into the same trap that I fell into. Amen. It was so pleasing. It was so alluring. It was so pleasurable. It was so joyful. It was so exciting. Amen. That he wrote in the very next verse in chapter 2 in verse number 17. He said, I hated life. I'm telling you, that's where it'll take you. You're not going to be joyful. You're not going to be, fulfilled. You're not going to be happy about it all. You're going to be exactly like Solomon, who's going to stand around and say, why did I give it all away when I had everything at my fingertips to begin with? Why did I give pleasure and peace and comfort away? Why did I give good things away so that I could have something that was alluring? Amen. When
and God had helped me and blessed me, I've turned away from God and I've looked unto other things. And he said, I'm vexed. He said, I hate life. The very next verse he said, yea, I hated all of my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it to the men that are, that shall be after me. Amen. Solomon was saying, I hate everything that I've done. Amen. All that I have built to get to this point, I despise it. Listen to the voice of the wise man. Amen. Solomon was saying, everything that I planted in the direction that it took me to get there, I hate all the time that I've given to that. I hate it. Amen. I want to carefully say here as well, amen, that sometimes the allurement of overtime, amen, is there. And if you can get overtime and still be faithful to God and faithful to the things of God, that's one thing. Amen. But when it's overtime that you volunteer for so that you can get out of the house of God, you wise man, you've got to understand. You've got to know there is a trap that is set. Amen. If it's not keeping you out of the house of God, knock yourself out. Amen. But understand. Amen. Parents, if you become a workaholic, you're going to lose your children in the process of it all. You've got to be wise. Solomon is saying, somebody hear me. Somebody look at it. And just because I had everything, it did not make me happy. I was vexed. I hated life. And I hated all the labor that I had used to fulfill what I wanted.
I want. He said, I hated it. I tell you today that looking for joy and satisfaction turned into a very sorrowful life. He hated it. He said, I worked so hard to get here. I worked so hard to get this position, and I hate what it has done to me. Praise God. Amen. It looks fun when you start. It looks enticing when it first begins. It looks like everything you've dreamed of, everything you've hoped for, everything you've asked for, and possibly everything you've prayed for. The devil's not ignorant. He knows how to wrap it. He knows how to make it look good. He said, I will be like the Most High. So don't tell me he doesn't know how to project it like it's a blessing from God. I've seen it happen too many times. But Solomon's saying, if you just listen to me and look at what I'm doing, I'm telling you that it's vanity and vexation, and I hate life. I hate what it's done to me. I hate what it's done to my family. I used to have peace and sanctity. I used to have goodness. I used to have comfort. I used to have joy and all these other things. And I may not have had all that I really desired, but what I did have, amen, was unmeasurable. What I did have was so good and so great, but I just had to have more. The wisest man had been able to conquer the mountain, but was never fully able to climb out of the pit of despair. Emotionally, he was messed up. He had walked away from God, because we know that he began to build groves and high places. And he took unto himself wives that worshipped Ashtaroth and all the other Phoenician goddesses. And he built them all their own groves and their own plot. Solomon! How did you get here? Solomon, what you are doing now is sin. What you're doing now, Solomon, is sin. And Solomon looks around and he's thinking to himself, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I've made it to this place. I'll tell you how you got there, Solomon. Subtly. Step by step. So subtly. The things that you used to hold to, things that you would not do. Now you find yourself doing it, and you look back and you're saying, what possessed me to do that? And then there is that evil spirit that becomes over, and that spirit that enticed and said, come, come. Now that spirit that enticed is saying, oh, you wretched fool. You should have seen. You should have known. But look what you've done now. And look at the guilt that you have. And he piles on what should have been pleasure, what should have been joy, what should have been goodness, what should have been happiness is vexation and vexation and vexation and vexation. And it's like the fish shaking his head side to side and running as fast as he can. And I'm just holding on saying, buddy, I've got a line bigger than you. And you may run for a while, but you're going to tire out. I've caught some pretty big fish in my time. I've had them run 2, 3, 4 times. Get them all the way up to the boat to where you see them. You're like, oh, yeah, this is a trophy right here. And as soon as they seen me, off they go. And it's another fight. But he can't get free. I've got pictures of him in my hands. I've got pictures of him on the boat. I've got pictures of it. The trophies that I caught with the bait that I used. That's the way people are. You think and you try to shake yourself in the snare of the fowler has trapped you and the condemnation that is all over you. And you shake your head and you run back to the house of God. But you got something in your jaw. And you try to throw your hands up and you try to shake that hook free. And it's just not working. And you try to pray. And you can't pray like you used to pray. You try to worship. You can't worship like you used to worship. You try to do a lot of things. And the devil just reels you right back out to that same place again. Devil reels you right back out to that same person again. And the times you resist and you fight back, you say, ah, I understand now, I can't do it, but he's got you. And he draws you back into that place again. He takes you back to that chat room, takes you back to that website, takes you back to that device, takes you back to that pleasure, takes you back to that addiction. Amen. That's why, amen, that they say that once a drunk or once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And they get away from it, but they can't seem to shake the hook out. And it's moments that they get drawn back to it. And they see it and they turn around and they run as fast and as hard as they can. But slowly but surely they're wearing down and they're wearing down. Can I tell you today, you need God. You need God. We need God. He's our only hope. And I tell you what Solomon said at the end of his life, the wisest man, this is all that he could come up with. In the very next to last verse of his entire book, he said, I'm telling somebody, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of a man. That's what he said. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of a man. Solomon! Can I tell you something? You still got it wrong, bud. You've still got it wrong. Because if that's the way that you perceive living for God, you've got problems. This is my duty. This is what I have to do. Solomon says, fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Solomon, your dad didn't teach you that. Solomon, your dad said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Solomon said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. And when we look back at David, he may have had his faults, but I'll tell you what he never had. Idols. But Solomon, you've got idols up in your life. You got idols in every area of your life. You've got idols in high places, idols in low places, and you
are so bound by the I syndrome. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It doesn't matter what so-and-so says. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the preacher wants. I am going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do. I'm going to go. I'm going to build. I'm going to have. And when it's all said and done, he said, this is the whole duty of man. I believe that David rolled over in his grave at that moment and said, son, I taught you better than that. If you would just fall in love with God, everything else will fall into place. I'm here to tell you tonight, the reason that you've got problems, the reason that you've got issues, amen, is you, amen, really have not fallen in love with God. Amen. Because when you fall in love with God, you love the things of God. You love the ways of God. You love the laws of God. But it's not necessarily thou shalt not. It's not law, it's life. It's life. And life more abundantly. You begin to look at it and say, I'm not worried about thou shalt and thou shalt not. They don't even bother me because I'm in love with the Master. Praise God. Praise God. The wisest man never found a way to get out of the trap. Wisest man, the only thing that he could do was tell you about what he learned the hard way. The only thing that he could do was tell you about all of his regrets. The only thing that he could do was tell you all the wisdom that he learned from a rough world. He wrote in chapter 3 about a time and a season for all things. You know how he knew? Because he lived it. He said there's a time to love and there's a time to hate. What he was saying is, I fought hatred. He said there was a time of peace and there was a time of war. He said, I've been at war with myself for so long. He was speaking from wisdom about the regrets, about the vexation that he was under. He said, I've looked at all of this from under the sun, and all is vanity and vexation, heaviness of spirit. I can't shake it. I can't shake it. Solomon, I've got a remedy today that you don't have. I've got a remedy. I've got a medicine today that Solomon didn't have. And we find it in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1. And we can imagine the person that has been entrapped by the snare of the fowler, the person that has been thrown overboard, the person that's been hooked in the jaw, slammed into the mouse trap, whatever it is, the person that has been caught by the trap. And there they are. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There they are, hung up. Come here, Brother Garrett. Come here, Brother Daniel. Now, Brother Garrett, you get a hold of him. Brother Daniel, you can't shake him. You can't get away from him. That's the life that you're living. You cannot get away. You've tried everything and you cannot get away. But today, God walks up and says, that's enough. Turn him loose. Go sit down. You're mine. It's called Calvary. It's called Christ Jesus. You couldn't shake him on your own. You couldn't get away from it on your own. You fought. You tried everything you could trying to get away from it. You couldn't get away from it. But the arm of Calvary reached down into your life. And unto the fowler he said, that's enough. Let him go.
And today you're free. You're free. But oh, that devil, he don't give up easy. He likes to stand in the background and yell obscenities and scream unto you. You may be free, but you remember when? You remember what I did to you? I'm coming back. I'm going to get you. You may be free now, but you're a hypocrite. You may be free now, but I remember what you did last night. You remember too, don't you? You don't feel so very free now, do you? You remember that you gave in. You remember it's that old thing that you can't shake. And you're saying, oh, yes, I'm shaking and I'm free, I'm free. But that vexation and that condemnation is over you. Amen. And that vexation seems to be living, amen, in your mind. Condemnation takes up territory in your mind. Amen. It is the front page of your life. Every morning when you wake up, condemnation is there knocking at the door saying, you hypocrite, you can't do this. You can't live for God. And you can shout and say, oh, but I'm doing it now. I got victory on Sunday night. I got a breakthrough on Sunday morning. And the devil's laughing at you and sneering at you. It's just going to be a little time and you're going to go right back in. You can't seem to shake it. Amen. Just that one thing that you and only you know. Just a little lie that you told here. Amen. That nobody knows about. And it comes back over you time and time again. Every time you seem to get the victory. Every time you seem to feel on top of it. Hey man, the devil's got his bell ringing in saying, you're a nobody, you're nobody, you're a failure, you're a failure. Hey man, and that condemnation is there. But I want you to know tonight, hey man, that the Bible says, hey man, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You've got to stop walking after the flesh. You've got to put a stop to it. You've got to learn how to say no. You've got to learn how to say not happening here. You've got to learn how to walk away. Amen. There is there now condemnation to those who walk after the flesh but after the Spirit. He said it like this: for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. It's in God that you're free. It's the life in God that you're free. It's not by the laws of God but by the life of God that you are free. He hath made you free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Can I just be so bold and say it like this? You may have been a liar yesterday, but in God's kingdom, you're not a liar today. God can set you free. You may have been an adulterer, amen, out in the world yesterday, but in God's kingdom, he's forgotten all about it. He's written it off. He's covered it in blood. It's not there anymore. God is saying there's no condemnation in God. I don't care what the devil is saying. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, let's love him, let's love him, let's love him, let's love him today. Hallelujah. Some of you are fighting this even as I'm preaching here tonight. Amen. And the devil is trying to hold on. Why don't you shake the devil off? Why don't you run the devil off? Why don't you dance the devil off? Why don't you, amen, yell the devil off? Amen. Why don't you get rid of him? Don't let him take up presidency in your mind. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Paul said there is no condemnation, not less condemnation. Not a reduced condemnation. There is no condemnation. Praise God. Praise God.
I'm preaching to somebody tonight. You're fighting condemnation. You don't have victory because of condemnation. You don't have liberty because of condemnation. Not because you sinned today. Not because you sinned yesterday. But because condemnation has set up in your heart. Condemnation has set up in your life. I'm here to tell you today you need to evict condemnation. Condemnation dwells on the yesterdays. But my yesterdays have been forgiven. My yesterdays, because that they've been forgiven, have been forgotten. My yesterdays are not held against me because I'm living in the life of Christ Jesus. Get your yesterdays under the blood. I said, get your yesterdays under the blood. Hallelujah. Get your yesterdays under the blood. Oh, I feel like saying again, somebody's still fighting. Somebody's still trying to get away. You fought for so long, you feel like you're still bound. You fought for so long, you still feel like you're hooked. Hey, man, there's a syndrome for that. I want you to know that he, that the Son has set free, is free indeed. You can have joy. You can have liberty. You can have pleasure. You can have happiness. You can have joy. You can have God. You can have strength. You can have a hope come back. You can have a dream. The devil says no, but the devil is a liar. I'm here tonight to tell you, you can have it. Why? I'm going from vexation to victory. I'm not living in vexation. I'm living in victory. I'm not harboring with vexation. I'm harboring with victory. I'm not going to, amen, hold on to vexation. I'm going to wrap my arms around victory. Oh, let's give him praise. Oh, somebody's feeling it right now. Somebody is saying, could it be? I'm saying, yes, it can. Somebody is saying, would it be? I'm saying, yes, it will. Somebody is saying, is it possible? I'm saying, it is possible. All things are possible through Christ who giveth us strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. You ought to just go ahead and shout for the victory right now. You ought to just go ahead and praise God for it right now. Oh, yes. Amen. Romans 8 started out with condemnation. But by the time you get to the end of Romans 8, he said, I am persuaded that nothing, nothing, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He said, not death, not life, not angels, not powers, not height, nor depth, nor things present, nor things to come. He said, nothing shall be able to separate me. I started with condemnation, but today I've got a conviction. I started with condemnation, but today I've got a conviction. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not walking out. I've got hope in Jesus. I said I've got hope in Jesus. I believe that he is able. I know that he is able. I may have messed up, but he's faithful. There's no condemnation. I got victory. I had vexation, but I got victory today. Oh, let's stand and love the Lord here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you bring your condemnation down to an altar and just sacrifice it? Amen. That would make the devil real upset. You, amen, just bring it down and say, I'm not holding this bag of condemnation any longer. Amen, I'm not dealing with this condemnation any longer. This condemnation has bound me for too long. This condemnation has robbed me for too long. This condemnation has stole my strength, stole my joy, stole my dream, stole my ambition, stole my hope. I'm giving it away today. I'm getting rid of it today. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not living with it anymore. anymore. I'm not living under the cloud of vexation. I may have messed up yesterday. I may have messed up last week. I may have messed up last month. I may have messed up several times last year. But it's over. It's finished. There is therefore no condemnation. Hey, amen. You got to walk in Christ Jesus. I can't do it on my own. I can't be this by my own. I can't be victorious without you. But Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you hope. I'll give you joy. I'll renew your dream. I'll renew your vision. I'll wipe away the stain of vexation and condemnation. And I will give you victory. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Come on, somebody's going to get joy tonight. Somebody's going to get liberty tonight. Somebody's going to become an overcomer tonight. Somebody's going to kick out condemnation tonight. Solomon said it's all vexation and vanity. I've got a word for you, Solomon. It's not vexation when I'm in Christ Jesus. It's victory. Amen. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I got my joy back. I got my hope back. I got my dreams back. I got my ambition back. I got everything that I wanted back. Amen. I had to fight for it for a little while. But Christ Jesus came and set me free. He loosed me from the bondage of sin. Loosed me from the condemnation of vexation. He loosed me, amen, from an entrapped mind. There is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost.